All right. Praise the Lord on this October the 18th, Lord's Day, Sunday morning. And we're going to skip our lesson this morning out of Proverbs. And I'm going to be teaching on a subject matter that I'm going to go to God in prayer before I even teach on it. Of some wickedness that's being promoted in our country. It's a horror. And instead of us being ashamed or concerned, we're kind of sidestepping this and allowing it to go further than it and it should have went, and further than I'm willing to accept. And I want to do what little bit I can to try to forewarn people about what's going on. And I know voting's coming up, and a lot of people will probably, if they're not careful, haphazardly cast their vote and promote this wickedness that I'm going to be teaching about today. And I do want to say I desire your prayers as I pray before I teach this lesson.
Yes.
Father, we call upon your great mercies, Father, on this Lord's Day, Sunday morning. Lord, I confess, being just a man and not much of a man at that, Lord, just dust and ashes, Father, but a vessel, Lord, that you've chosen to use. Now I pray, God, Lord, today for your anointing upon me. I pray, God, today for wisdom and leadership. I pray for discernment and guidance, Lord, from the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, I want to try my best, Lord, to pull the veneer off of this wickedness, this horror that goes on in our country and in the world. Lord, I want to try to take the Bible, Lord, and put some emphasis on it. I want to try to give some statistics and some truths about it. And I'm praying for the help of God. And I pray, Lord, the hand of God will be here today to help me in this lesson. And I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right. This is a tough subject today. One I've chose not really willingly. One I felt like that I absolutely had to address. And to my amazement this morning, as I was listening to King of Kings radio, I heard two more preachers, one more adamant than the other, but I heard two more preachers also mention this subject that we're going to try to teach on this morning. We would normally be in Proverbs. I think we just finished out Proverbs chapter 25.
Yes.
And we would have been in Proverbs chapter 26. And I want to start with a verse out of Proverbs. And I'll probably mention it later again. But in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 17, or verse 16 says, "These six things doeth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination." And that's a key word right there.
Yes.
Abomination unto him. And he does mention seven things. So here is an abominable thing unto God. And it's the latter part of verse 17, but we'll go ahead and read it. "A proud look is an abominable thing to God. A lying tongue is an abominable thing to God." And here's our text on our teaching today. "And hands that shed innocent blood." I'm teaching today on abortion of babies. And I do want to take my time teaching here. I've looked up a lot of things. I want to go to the Bible first. I want to go to Isaiah chapter 44, verse number 2. I'm going to read a lot of scripture and then we're going to teach on this. I'll give a lot of statistics. I'll give a lot of truths, a lot of statements. I just want you to bear with me a little bit. This will be tough. Go ahead, Brother Ed.
Yeah, while you're looking up that scripture, I got something I need to thank Sister Lottie for this morning. Sister Lottie, I see you're out here on the air. And I want to read this little note that you wrote to me and my wife. It says, "Brother Ed and Karen, Miss Terry,
bless you.
Praying for you. What power can these three words, love and Christ?" I want you to know, honey, you could say that, and probably someday in my life I'd forgot it.
Bless
you. But you writing it, it's there forever. And I'm so thankful for you, Sister Farmy. We love you, honey.
Amen, Brother Ed.
Amen.
And my brother had already discussed with me he wanted to do that, and I'm proud of him for doing it. That's the same way the Bible is. It's forever settled in the heavens. and we have it. Thank God for it. But in the Bible, in Isaiah 44, verse 2, God doing the speaking, "Thus saith the Lord that made thee." Now, a lot of people that are pro-choice, they don't want to give any acknowledgement of God at all. Matter of fact, that's why evolution is so much promoted. We'll get to that. Just bear with me here a minute. I've got to lay a little bit of a foundation for this Sunday school lesson. But when you deny that God made you, the Bible says in Psalms 14, verse 1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God."
Right.
Well, when you do deny God, then you don't have a conscience, and then you do unthinkable things because you think you don't have anyone to answer to. Now, I done told you it's an abominable thing to God, hands that shed innocent blood.
Yeah.
So you have to remove God from the equation to have a mind that wants to continue in what I'm teaching on today. The Lord says, "Thus saith the Lord that made thee." Get that. Like Brother Ed said, it's written.
That's right.
"And formed thee from the womb." The little baby in the womb. God says He forms that little baby.
That's right.
"Which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jezreel, whom I've chosen." That's another word for Israel. Now I want you to note that the Lord mentioned that He made Jacob, formed him in the womb.
Yeah.
In Luke chapter 1, verse 41, John the Baptist in his mother's womb, when Mary came to Elizabeth, the babe in Elizabeth's womb leaped for joy, and John was filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb.
Amen.
And Elizabeth also was filled with that Holy Ghost, and she started giving a loud salutation, the glory to God, and praising God for her Lord coming in the womb of Mary to visit her. There's a whole lot more to the babe in the womb that we're willing to give credit for. Now you bear with me, I'm laying down some hard foundation here. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse number 5, God again doing the speaking, and He's talking to Jeremiah. And it's a very familiar scripture here, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Went one page too far, Eddie. He said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee."
Yeah.
"And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations."
Yeah.
Now I want you to know, in the providence of God, a babe was born to be a prophet of God. God declared that right there. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're going to run rampant here just a little bit. If I can do it, you can do it.
Yeah.
Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 5. "As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all." Look in Psalms 127. When I get all this laid down, we'll talk about this subject here in just a minute. Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward."
Yeah.
"As heirs are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." God here talks about the reward of the womb. It's a fruit. It's of the Lord. I will get more of that here in just a minute. I heard a testimony this week on King of Kings Radio. A mother had a baby girl. Her and her husband had tried, I think she said, for 15 years to have a baby. And they wept and prayed and asked other people to pray for them. And after 15 years, she couldn't hardly get the words out. She said, "We had a baby daughter born to us. And through her tears, she told of how precious this little baby girl was to them. You can't go to Walmart and get a baby. In Genesis chapter 30, verse 1, Rachel said to Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." I think she was insinuating suicide. Mm-hmm. Verse 2, Jacob told her, "Am I in God's stead?" You know, I'm just going to quote some of that, but I do want to read some of that now. You see the desperation of a woman that has no children. She says in the Genesis chapter 30, verse 1, "And when Rachel saw that she bare no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, 'Give me children or else I die.' And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel. And he said, 'Am I in God's stead? Who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb?'" Here's how desperate Rachel was. And she said, "Behold, my maid Bilhah, go into her, she shall bear up on my knees, that I may also have children by her." And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, the wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. That's how desperate a wife can get that doesn't have any children. Sarah also was barren in Genesis chapter 11, verse 30. And she done the same thing. She had Abraham go into her handmaid, her Egyptian handmaid, Hagar. Well, let's go there too. I'm sitting here quoting. I'm sitting here thinking I'm going to leave something out, and I don't want to. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 30, talks about Sarah was barren and she had no child. And then you go over to Genesis chapter 16, and you'll see her here. "Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abraham, 'Behold, now the Lord have restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid, that it may be that I may obtain children by her.' And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes." It caused problems in both cases, what I'm trying to get out. I want to lay that foundation before I got into subject matter.
Yeah.
A pro-choice abortion compares a late-term baby to be no more than an insect. Mm. Now, I want you to understand how you can have a thought like that. Like I said, when you don't like to retain God in your knowledge, when you choose to have a mind apart from what thus saith the Lord, when you choose to deny all truth and go the way of the world, you can have thoughts like this right here.
Right.
A late-term baby to be no more than an insect. One abortion official compares an abortion to no more than a tooth extraction. Now, Romans chapter 1, verse 28 talks about they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. And I do need to go there because there's a couple more verses I want to bring out. I'm going with caution here. They don't like to retain God in their knowledge. You can't take God out of anything. I'm sorry.
You're right.
But look at verse 19 through 21. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." They denied it. They turned it down. They'd rather hear somebody promote evolution, global warming, a new Green Deal, all that propaganda, then say that God is in control of the earth and all creation. "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And they don't want that. And so verse 21 says, "Because that when they knew God, They glorified him not as God. Little children, they need to be taught right.
That's right.
And if they're not taught right, someone else will get to them and teach them wrong. That's why you need to bring up a child in the way he needs to go. And it says, because that when they knew God, little children know God. Oh yeah. It's in their heart. God put it in there. And they got up, you know, and got smarter in God, or maybe they thought they didn't need God, and they chose to have a different mindset concerning God. And lost my place here. And they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I just want you to know, God showed them. Now if you look over here, verse 31, I'm again in Romans chapter 1, verse 31. Now they're without understanding, without natural affection, unmerciful. I'm taking that out of verse 31. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but to have pleasure in them that do them. They're promoting this horror, this wickedness of abortion of little babies. Mary Ann Warren in 1978 stated, can the fetus be an organ farm? And aborted, this is what got me on the subject. I heard Melvin Sisson talking to David Carr this week on King of Kings Radio. And he disclosed something to me that I did not know. And I'm going to guess you don't know it neither, so listen good. An aborted male baby of 6 to 8 months old is worth over $100,000. And that changes everything. That tells me that the motive now is not of a mother's health care or safety, but it's this right here. Over $100,000 for an aborted male baby. And notice, 6 to 8 months, I may have said weeks, 6 to 8 months aborted is worth over $100,000. That's why they go out and buy Lamborghinis. They go out and buy Ferraris. They buy farms. They buy houses.
Yeah.
They buy lands. It's blood money. But anyway, like I said, God hates the hands that shed innocent blood.
Amen.
Planned Parenthood makes $23 million a year by selling aborted baby parts. And that is illegal. But there are loopholes, and they found them. And the reason they found them is because somebody else wanted in on the money. But one of their customers, this may catch you by surprise, Oprah Winfrey, sells her anti-aging face cream made from the... And I'm sorry, there has to be this graphic here, but I don't know other way to put this. She sells her anti-aging face cream made from the foreskins of aborted male babies for over $100 for a 63-ounce bottle. She calls it the Fountain of Youth, a miracle cream. Barbara Walters also promoted this face cream on her show. And by the way, for one male aborted baby foreskin, $5,408. A brain, $3,300. A 22-week aborted baby, which I saw a photo of this, I had to go research some of this, and as gruesome as it was, a 22-week aborted baby already has a full head of hair. Doctors now admit that breast cancer is a product of abortion. And cervix cancer is also connected to abortion. Now I said, you know, I hate to even go into this, but it's not going to go away.
No.
And one reason it's still here is because we put our head in the sand.
Amen.
We turned our face and ignored the reality of this monster that's growing in our country and worldwide, and I don't want to be guilty of at least not trying to say something or speak against it or warn people about it. In 2 Kings chapter 21, there's a king there, and God mentions him very carefully. 2 Kings chapter 21, in verse number 16, his name is Manasseh. He shed innocent blood very much till he had filled, I'm in verse 16 of 2 Kings chapter 21, he shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, and that was a sin that God would not pardon. Look over in verse number, in chapter number 24. Now God is merciful and gracious, and He abundantly pardons, but I want you to look in 2 Kings chapter 24, verse number 4, talking again about Manasseh, the innocent blood that he shed, for he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, notice this, which the Lord would not pardon. I told you, God said it was an abominable thing to him.
Yeah.
Hands that shed innocent blood. At an abortion clinic outside, a 17-year-old was seen crying. One of the workers went over to her, and she ended up crying herself. She heard this 17-year-old broken vessel say, "Will I ever get over it?" And as they cried together in the pain of both of their mistakes, they realized what a terrible tragedy it is to make the decision to go through an abortion. Described as a piece of fine china that's been broken that cannot be put back together by man. They say some of these women, it's due either to guilt or shame that they throw up during the process because they realize into it they've made a terrible mistake. Mm. The world seems to have a deaf ear. They seem to have somewhat the inability to see the horrible wickedness of this sin that's plaguing our country. I mentioned about that vessel being broken, it couldn't be put back together, and they took the money that Jesus was betrayed with and they bought the potter's field to bury strangers in, and the only thing in that potter's field was broken shards of pottery. And you know what? Jesus can put broken vessels back together. And praise God, He put this old broken vessel back together.
Amen.
But Judas that betrayed Jesus, that Jesus said, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" Judas made this statement. Matthew 27. Judas, which had betrayed him, I'm in Matthew 27, verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Now I want you to notice what he says here. Judas, that was a devil, that Jesus said, "Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He said, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." He found no mercy. For one thing, he went to the wrong one. They had taught him and bribed him into betraying Jesus. And after they used him, they were done with him like the devil does. People, he'll use you. And after he's done with you, he'll betray you. He'll say, "Yeah, you go ahead and do that. You know, everybody else is doing it. As soon as you do it, make sure it's known. And then you've got the shame and you got the guilt of doing it. Well, here Judas was that had been taught and they had agreed on 30 pieces of silver. And Judas, which betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, couldn't live with himself. And he went out and hanged himself. You see that in verse 5? Mm-hmm. He cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Living with the consequences is another thing that people have to deal with. It's one thing to say I'm pro-choice. It's another thing to say I'm pro-life. But it's also another thing to say what saith the Word of God.
Yeah.
God says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, He says, "Thou shalt not kill." Says it in the New Testament many times. Right. Matthew chapter 5 and Mark, Luke, and I think maybe even in John. "Thou shalt not kill." And for some reason, when you take God out of the equation, when you take the Ten Commandments off the wall, when you throw the Bible out of the classroom, you raise up a generation that doesn't have any conscience concerning killing someone. Right. To them, it's no more than an insect. To them, it's no more than a dog. And you wonder how anyone could just up and kill someone. You better raise them right. You better teach them right. And you better train them right.
Right.
The Bible tells us to train up a child in the way he should go. Pilate even tried to wash the blood from his hands, the blood of Jesus. And he tried to say he was innocent. Look over here in verse 24. "When Pilate saw he could prevail nothing, but rather a turmoil was made," he's a politician, mm-hmm. "he took water and washed his hand before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. And all the people answered and said, His blood be on us and on our children. And the Jewish people have paid the price for those terrible words that they said right there. It didn't pardon them. It didn't excuse them. They've been burying their loved ones for over 2,000 years just on that one verse. The history of Pilate is that he spent the rest of his days going to every body of water he could find, as insane as could be, saying, I can't get this blood off my hands. Mm. Don't tell me there aren't any consequences to having an abortion. The mother has to live with it. The father has to live with it. Somehow you got to hide it. Somehow you got to somehow act like it didn't happen. And you have nightmares. What one person was told it in the night, she'd wake up hearing baby crying. And this horror that goes on in our country being promoted. You know, I don't think I could have a conscience void of offense if I voted for someone that was pro-choice. I don't think I can live with myself. I'm glad to have a conscience void of offense. I'm glad to have a pure conscience. But you know, you can make a big deal, and you know, you can get all your words just right and say it's a woman's choice. Listen, there is a judgment. There is a God that every one of us are going to give an account to.
Right.
One day it ain't going to be a choice. One day it's going to be the consequences of a choice. But I want you to know, 42 million babies were aborted across the world in 2009. 862,320 were aborted in America. They say Black Lives Matter. 247 Black babies are aborted every day in America. Mm. Now that just don't add up to Black Lives Matter.
No, it don't.
I'm not trying to be political. I'm not trying to point fingers. But that contradicts a sign, Black Lives Matter, when you got 247 black babies aborted every day in America. You just take it for what it is. How bad can it get, Brother Eddie? Oh, I'm glad you asked. In the Netherlands now, you're allowed to abort a child up to 12 years old by euthanasia by a doctor.
Oh, my.
That's how bad it can get. Where's this going, Brother Eddie? It's going all the way.
Yeah.
Is abortion in the Bible? Well, sure it is. Look at here. I'm in Luke chapter 2. These wise men came seeking Jesus. And Herod, I think I'm in the wrong place here. Let me go back to Matthew. When Herod found out, here it is. In Matthew chapter 2, got the wrong gospel. When Herod saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceeding wroth, and he sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according, I'm in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 2, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning for Rachel, great mourning Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. I've heard a lot of stories about abortion. It's hard to look all this up. There's oceans of facts and testimonies and stories about abortion. But I've heard about a lot of these babies living. And now they've got a law that they let the baby lay there till it dies, starve to death, or die of thirst or whatever. Trump, our president, is trying to overthrow that. That if a baby does, you know, this is barbaric.
Yes, it is.
And I don't know how we got here, except we denied the existence of God and we become so heathenistic in our country that used to stand 10 foot tall for God. Now we condone this murder of the innocents.
Yeah.
Now we promote it through politicians and through money, and they make profit off of it. It just bothers me to the point I couldn't get it out of my craw.
Right.
But I've heard of babies surviving abortion, and our president is trying to pass a law that if a baby does survive an abortion, it be declared the right to live.
Yeah.
Now we've lost our conscience in America. We've lost the ability to blush. We've got so used to sin, we call it different names now. This is a sin that will come back on this country. God would not pardon Manasseh. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 9, verse 17, all the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. That's Bible. That's the Word of God. And America will pay the price for this wickedness being promoted in America. But I want to appeal to you even right now, before you cast your vote. It's your vote.
Yeah.
Think about it. What do you really want to support? Do you want to support the murdering? You know, anyone that's pro-choice ought to be thankful their mother wouldn't.
That's right.
They ought to give some thought, even though someone may have taught them wrong, someone may have pointed them in the wrong direction. They ought to give some thought to the fact that they wouldn't abort it, and have some mercy on someone that wanted to live just like they want to live right now.
Right.
And like I said, the consequences of this are so severe I can't even put it into words. There are people that have hung themselves, that have committed suicide with guns, jumping off the cliffs, jumping out in front of cars. They could not live with their conscience for making this kind of choice. And in America right now, it's on the ballot. Next month, you'll be voting either pro-life or pro-choice.
Yes, that's
right. I couldn't live with myself if I voted for someone that I knew was pro-choice. I couldn't do it. I don't know how I ever even got this far. Mm-hmm. I can't really come up with an explanation other than we had our mind on other things. I'm thinking of a scripture about the sowing of the tares, and it's the only thing I can think of that may give some clarity to this thought. Jesus talked about the devil sowing tares in Matthew chapter 13. And he said the kingdom of God, I'm in Matthew chapter 13 verse 24, this is a parable. He put forth a parable unto them saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, that's the only way I can figure out this happened.
Yeah.
We've slept long enough.
Yeah.
His enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Mm-hmm. And you know what? He tells us who that enemy is. He said in Matthew chapter 13, verse 38, he said, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Like I said, there are consequences to this wickedness being promoted in our country. Now you can explain it away. You can find you somebody that says it's okay. What's wrong with that conscience? Why is that conscience so guilty? Why is it you can't get it out of your mind? Why is it plaguing you? I'll tell you why. Because God still loves you. Mm-hmm. God will still forgive you. God will still pardon you. I made so many mistakes. I did. That April the 27th, 1988, when I called upon Him, that's rich in mercy to all that call upon Him, I wondered in my heart if God could truly forgive me of all that I had done. Now, it's one thing to do wickedly, and I did do wickedly. It's one thing to commit abominations, and I did commit abominations. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to sin before the eyes of God. But I will tell you this, I'm like the chiefest of sinners. Apostle Paul, he said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. Maybe you weren't informed about all the aspects. Maybe you were. No matter what, Jesus said, all that come to Him, He said, I will in no wise turn away. In John chapter 6, I believe it's verse 37. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, God bids you come. Thus saith the Lord. He said, come unto me, all ye that... I want to read that. I don't mess that up. I was trying to mix in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Everybody. Comes, Come now, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'm not there. Just finally come to me. Thank you, Lord. Come now, saith the Lord, and let us reason together. I just want you to know God is a reasonable God.
Yes, he is.
He's a merciful God. He's a gracious God. His mercies are new every morning.
Yes.
He's got mercy for me. He's got mercy for you.
Amen.
What the problem is, you got to come to Him. Jesus mentioned John chapter 5, verse 40. He said that you will not come to Him that you may have life. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. I've hit around it, now I'm going to quote it. Come now, saith the Lord, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. God has the cure for your guilty conscience.
Yes, he does.
God has the forgiveness for your sin, which is plaguing you worse than this coronavirus. For what it's worth, I want to mention this about the coronavirus. This would be as good a time as any to mention it. 74% of people infected with COVID-19 always had a mask on. Didn't hear that on CNN, did you? They said we wore a mask always. Bruce Springsteen threatens to move to Canada if President Trump is reelected. A member of Motley Crue's band threatens to move to Greece. Tommy Lee threatens to move back to Greece if President Trump is elected. And Cher threatens to move to Jupiter if Trump is elected. I'm hoping he gets elected. I'd like to see all three of them go. But anyway, you know, we're in this, and we're in this over our head. Our present president is the most pro-life president we've ever had. I'm not stumping for him.
No.
I'm just telling you a truth.
That's right.
You're going to vote, or you've already voted. And if you've already voted, there's not really anything you can do about it. But if you haven't voted yet, please vote pro-life.
Yes.
The consequences are unbearable. Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. And God confronted him about it. And he tried to shrug it off, saying, am I my brother's keeper? And the next thing you hear Cain saying, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Cain had never had a guilty conscience. You'll have to live with yourself. You'll have to live with your conscience.
That's right.
If you're pro-choice, there will be consequences. You see, the fruit of the loom is His reward. Remember I read there in Psalms 127? Mm-hmm. Children are a heritage of the Lord. You can't get them at Walmart. There's people that would give anything to have a child. Mm-hmm. And there's people that look for a way to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. You got people nowadays that are murdering their children for insurance money.
Everything.
God will bring every work in the judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Last verse of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. The preceding verse says, now let us consider this matter. It says, here's the conclusion. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There is a judgment. You will and I will stand before God. And we will give an account to Him whether we were pro-life or pro-choice.
Yeah.
But make no mistake about what this preacher is saying. Children are a heritage of the Lord.
Yes.
God gives them. Women that couldn't get them, I mentioned two of them, there's others. They couldn't have a child. Hannah couldn't have a child. She begged God, and God gave her a son.
Yeah.
And she gave him back to God.
Yeah.
I just want you to know you can't go to Walmart to get a child. And this horror, this plague that's running rampant in our country shouldn't have ever made it this far. It shouldn't make it any further. Your vote You say I'm stubborn. No, I'm not. Your vote will make a difference.
Yes, it will.
Whether this country is pro-life or pro-choice. So make sure you pray over what you vote for in November. This country, I'll tell you what the Bible says about leadership in Proverbs chapter 29. Make no mistake about this verse. It says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn.
Yeah.
You'll mourn if you vote pro-choice. You'll find out it wasn't all it was told. You'll find out you was lied to.
Yeah.
You was hoodwinked. You was duped. And your hands were partaking of this crime. America's going to have to answer to God for aborting all these babies. America's guilty before God with regards to this abortion. President Trump, and I mention him, I'm not standing for him. You vote whoever you want to vote for. But President Trump is trying to overthrow this abortion issue in this country.
Yes,
may God help him to do it.
Yes.
It's plaguing me, plaguing you, it's plaguing our children.
Right.
No telling how many of them babies could have been a help. Could have been the very one that discovered something that might have been needed for the day and hour we're living
in.
That God put that in that little vessel. And someone had so little regard. They called it an insect. Called it a tooth. You know, there'll be a great accountability in making statements like that to the God that said a child.
Yeah.
It's a precious thing. Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me. And forbid them not. You may not understand children, but I will tell you one thing I know about children. They're as innocent as the driven snow.
Yeah.
You can learn more about God by listening to a little child talk than you will an old preacher like me any day of the week. And illegal aliens from sanctuary cities are committing sex crimes, killings, and burglary. I think it's Governor Cuomo, or maybe it's Mayor, is it Governor Cuomo, got stopped from promoting child abuse for same-sex unions. We just got a lot of wickedness going on in this country, and it needs to stop. And one wickedness I'd like to see stopped is this issue of abortion.
Yeah.
And we'll stop right there. Father, we've done the best we could, Lord, to deliver this discourse on this terrible subject, this shedding of this innocent blood. Lord, I pray, Father God, that the great truths that have been told here in this time, Lord, register in the hearts of the hearer. And I pray they'd have to say, amen. God is right. And those that are promoting this horror, this terrible tragedy of abortion, that, Lord, they'd say they're wrong. And it ought to be pro-life, not pro-choice. Help America recover from this snare of Satan.
Yeah.
Help America to understand how wicked it's become. Help, I pray, our government, Lord, to have the fear of God. Not to be willing to promote this wickedness, to put an end to it. Lord, I believe America's in trouble. And I believe you've been speaking to it. I think I saw that when the Twin Towers fell. Lord, 9/11, 2001. I believe that was the writing on the wall for this country that had been somewhat haphazard with the things of God. Lord, for just a brief moment, people flooded to the house of God because they realized they was going to have an encounter with judgment and God. Lord, may that fear come back again, I pray. Lord, for the generation that's here in America now, may they have eyes to see, may they have ears to hear, and a heart to understand the wickedness of the subject matter I tried to teach on this morning. Lord, I can't claim innocency myself. Lord, I may have voted for someone before I realized, Lord, how bad a subject this was. They don't always announce or disclose what they truly stand for. Lord, help us to vote responsibly. Help us, Lord, to do the homework. Help us to look before we vote. Let, I pray, more than a name be the reason we vote. More than a party be the reason we vote. May we vote for what they stand for, and may they do what they say they're going to do. Thank you for a president that truly has done what he said he'd do. And Lord, I pray to give him, Lord, another 4 years to help this country. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll stop right there. Thank you.